We're going to read now, before Les comes up to speak to us, reading from 1 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, this is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God, through the foolishness of the message preached, to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
And it's nice to be back here in Belvedere. I hope you can hear me. I remember putting a microphone tie. I normally get stuck in the wires. But someone gave me a microphone tie and I put it on, a clip on, and I put it on the tie. And as I was speaking, I didn't realise that the microphone was slipping down further and further. It wasn't until it hit the pulpit with a bang and everyone woke up that I realised that it had slipped. But hopefully I won't put you to sleep tonight. When Graham asked me to speak, he gave me the title, The X Factor. And I thought to myself, oh, come on, Graham. You know, if it was my kids and saying it was Xmas, I'd be telling them, you don't do that. It should be The Cross Factor. And I speak about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we used to play games with the young people. And we'd have a game, and I'm not that computer literate now, so when they asked me for my PowerPoint presentation tonight, I said I didn't bring one. Normally I'd bring a piece of card and show you the signs, but that's because I'm getting old. But you know, if I was to put a sign up, you would easily recognise it. So I'm going to visualise them myself. And you can say in your own mind, you can even shout out. I know it's church, but it's not a quiz, so there are no prizes. But if I were to say to you, it's a giant M, they called it the Golden Arches, what would you think of? Well, in. McDonald's, I'm glad I put him there on the front to help me. If I was to say, you might not get this one, but it's a circle of silver with a three-pointed star in it. A Mercedes. See, who was that said then? He must have a Mercedes. But immediately, shoulders were going, three-pointed star, what does that mean? But you put a sign up, and it does, you'll get this one. It's a tick. They call it a whoosh. It's nice. There are three stripes on your football boots and it belongs to Adidas. So we used to play this game. I'd have them all cut out the TV times and put them on and show how old I am. And you'd put them all up and it would immediately portray either the product or something like that. And then at the end we would put up the cross and ask people what they thought it meant. Now, if I was to put a cross up and they're in church, I'm sure many would come up with the right answer. But it's interesting when you put the cross up, it immediately sparks and evokes in people some ideas. We used to put it up and some people say, it's the flag. Well, I was going to say serve them, but I've never been in school. It's a flag, Les. And you think, well, that could be right, couldn't it? Flag of Switzerland or lots of other places that it could be. Some would say, it's a sign for help, the Red Cross. Or it's a sign for a hospital or a pharmacy if you're abroad. You look for the cross to help you. And all those, so someone said, say that's a road sign. Say, and you know, well, it would be. Then someone said, it's a sign about death and danger. You know, if you go to those places, There's an X. Don't go across the line. Don't drink this bottle. I was at a christening for one of my relatives this morning. We were in a church and I walked through the graveyard. And on most of the graves, there is a cross. And you get the idea why people think it's all about death. There's so many pictures and there's so many opinions. But it's important tonight that as I speak about the cross and what it means, is for you to recognize what the Bible teaches about the cross. You see, the whole cross, the root of the word, comes from, well, we talk about it in the English language. And we think about it as being important. Because we say the whole crux of the matter, when something is really important and everything hinges upon it, the crux of the matter comes from the word crucifixion. When people say, it's a crucial point. Something rests on it. It's a matter of life or death. It's crucial. It comes from the cross and crucifixion. When you're at a crossroads, we use it, don't we? When there's a great decision to be made, it comes from that. So what I could ask you, if I was to put it up tonight and put the cross up, what does the cross mean to you? You see, the early church, as it started to grow, they looked for a sign or a symbol that they could be recognized by. And some of them wanted a rainbow, show that it was God's covenant with his world. Some wanted to have the sign of the fish, or the fish and bread, Jesus being the bread of life and the miracles that he did. Some of them wanted the dove, the sign that God, in the form of the Spirit, came down in the form of a dove and settled upon the Lord Jesus Christ at his baptism. But they settled on the cross. It wasn't long the early church would make the sign of a cross or wear the emblem of a cross or have it posted so they'd know that it was a Christian church. And that's strange because as those who were older here will know the old hymn which says, oh, the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And it would be strange for those in the early church, many who were Jews converted to Christianity, because the cross to them was a symbol of death. And it would seem strange that there'd be those who would wear a cross. Because someone had said, and I read this, it would be like wearing a picture, a sign of an electric chair, or the gas chamber, or something like that. Because the cross was the instrument of death. Crucifixion was introduced by the Persians about 500 BC. He said it was introduced by Persians, but it was perfected by Romans, the death which people would die, and they said, be damned by, because that's what the Jews believed. So why in this instrument of death would they take it and make it their symbol? Because it was a picture of the death and damnation to the Jews. In Deuteronomy in chapter 21, it actually says, this cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So anyone who hung upon a tree was cursed, it says, by God. So why would they have the cross as their symbol? Because to Christians it was no longer a symbol of death. It was a symbol of life. The Christians believed that Christ's death and resurrection has changed all of that. And now they would worship the Christ who died on the cross and who rose again from the dead. If I can reminisce a bit, it would probably be about 40 years ago at a Christmas time. A young lad stood here at the front and sang a song at the Christmas service. It was called, Do You Worship the Babe in the Manger? But neglect the Christ of the cross. I know that because I was the young lad who stood here when they had the big pulpit and all them round the front. And it's so true, isn't it? People are so taken up with the baby and Christmas and all that goes on. Do you worship the babe in the manger, but neglect the Christ of the cross? What does the cross mean to you tonight? To the early church, it was a symbol of life. And as that early church would gather together, they would know that the cross was central in the whole of the Bible. They could go through. In fact, if you turned with me, if you have a Bible, to Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Jesus is speaking and he said this, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus Christ came in service and in sacrifice. He came, and the cross is there to show to us that the whole of the Bible points to the cross. It's central right throughout all its pages. It was promised in Eden when Adam and Eve fell into sin. The first promise that God gives is, you know, that he will send a Saviour who would crush Satan's head, Satan would bruise his heel. It was a picture of suffering, a picture of a Saviour who would be wounded, as it were, who would suffer. And it was promised there in Eden. And you read through all the Old Testament, and it's pictured throughout the whole Old Testament in its type and shadow, in the sacrifices and in the offerings which were given. They all point to a blood sacrifice and point to a Saviour and point to a cross. It's prophesied, and we don't have time, but we could look through the Bible and look at the prophets who speak about one who is to come and be a sacrifice. Isaiah chapter 53, the lamb led to the slaughter, verses which we know so well. Verses in the book of Psalms, the messianic Psalms, which speak about a Saviour upon a cross. You read through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and central to the Gospels is the crucifixion. Read it for yourself and see the emphasis. You'll go through the chapters, and there's chapters on his birth and his life, but the whole weight invoked by him, it seems, is given to that week and to those days when Christ is crucified on the cross and is buried and is raised again and appears to his disciples. It's there. And the Lord Jesus Christ throughout his ministry is pointing to the time when he will go to the cross. I've come to give my life a ransom for many. And then you'll go when Christ has risen and ascended to heaven. And the Spirit comes upon the church. And what is the message of the church? From the book of Acts, through the epistles, all the way through, the apostles and the church ever since, they have taken the message which says, we preach Christ and him crucified. The message is all about the cross. So I ask again, what does the cross mean to you? Because not only in the Garden of Eden, and all the way through the Bible, and right up to the day where we will stand up and preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will read in the book of Revelation that those who will gather round the throne of heaven and spend eternity, their theme will be the cross. Because worthy is the song they sing, is the Lamb who was slain. The cross is central. It's the cross of life. It's the cross which is important. The cross which is central. You read in the book of Galatians, and Paul says this, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, I will glory, I will boast not in anything except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone had anything to boast about, as far as religion goes, and wanting to work his way to heaven, it would be the Apostle Paul. He could boast about his race. After all, he was Jewish. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, he calls himself. They were God's chosen people. He followed the religious laws of the day. He was one who was God, so if anyone was going to get to heaven, it would be him. He could boast about his religion, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law himself. He would follow his religion and all its rules and regulations. He was so on fire in his religion that he would persecute anyone who stood against his religion. You know the story well. Saul on the road to Damascus, as he's just witnessed the killing of Stephen. And he's now going with threatening letters and murderous letters to kill those who are the followers of the way, he says. Those who follow Christ. And he wants to put down the cross. And he wants to put down the message. And he wants to put down the followers. And he's going to stand up as one who could say, I'm a Jew who's following God. And in my religion, I'm filled with zeal. And look how good I am. My race, my religion, my own righteousness commends me to God. Surely, he would say. But he says, I'm not going to boast in anything. My glory is only in Christ and his cross. And why does he say that? We read in 1 Corinthians there, Because in verse 18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. He knew that everything that he tried to attain to get to heaven was nothing, because the power of salvation was in the cross, in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I was to put the cross up, what would it mean to you? To the early church, it was no longer a symbol of death. It was a symbol of life. To those who were following Christ, it was central to everything that they believed. To the Apostle Paul, it was the only thing that he could ever cling on to and boast about. It wasn't anything within himself. It was all about Christ. And he says to the Jews, the cross has become a stumbling block. It was offensive. The original word says that it's a scandalon, from which we get the word scandalous. How could it be? Cursed is everyone who hangs on the cross. The Saviour, the Messiah that they were looking for, the Saviour they wanted, it's a stumbling block to them. And yet Paul is going to say to them, it's the power of God to salvation, and I'll give you no other message except for Christ and Him crucified. For the Greeks or the Gentiles, depending on which version of the Bible you follow, it was foolishness. Surely that's not the way to heaven. You're not on. We need proof, we need signs, we need wisdom, we need intellect. We can argue it out. But a man dying on the cross can be the Saviour of the world. A man who you say can take the sins of men and women and bear God's for them, so that when God looks us now, he no longer sees our sin because it's been taken by Christ and he has borne the anger. But when he looks upon us, he sees Christ's righteousness, his right living, his perfect life given over to our accounts, and they say it's not possible. But what does the cross mean to you? Is it a stumbling block? Is it foolishness? But God has said this is the way. The cross is central to the Bible, and the message is for men and women today to come. In closing, I've put up the signs and the symbols and I've put up the cross, but I remember going to open airs around the town centre when they used to be, I was going to say, in fashion, where people would come and stand and listen to an open air, and people would speak about the cross. And I remember a man, and he put a cross upon the board. And he said, the cross, what does it mean to you? And he'd have the cross, and he'd use the illustration of when you were at school. Perhaps it's different today with IT and computers. But you'd hand your homework in, and you'd have to ask. And then you'd get your homework back, and you'd look at the questions. And if it was wrong, you had a big cross against it. And he said, the cross points out to us that is something that is wrong. Now, we don't have to be geniuses, do we, to know that there's something wrong with the world. But quite often we look around and see the wrong in everyone else. But there was the Times magazine who asked many years ago, what is wrong with the world? And the best answer and the shortest answer that came back, I think it was from G.K. Chesterton, who said this, what's wrong with the world? I am. I am. Because we know that we're not the people that we should be. And we know that when we're measured against God's standard, we have fallen against it. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God's standard is there. And we never make it, do we? Our hearts are wicked, says the Bible. Our thoughts are impure. Our actions are impure. The words that we say, our tempers, all the things that we could bring out, we're sinners. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The cross points out something that's wrong. It's there because there is sin in the world. I went to New Orleans a couple of years ago, not long after the Hurricane Katrina had devastated that city. And it seems as though you go for mile and mile. I often, that might sound strange, drive up North Hill Street or South Street, and I go past the Wells Street and I see them all empty. But when I went to New Orleans, we went for mile after mile after mile of empty houses. And as we got near to into the town city centre, those houses which were empty had a cross on them. It would have a date or a number, and the number would point out where the people had died there. And it was sad, but it was also, you know, opened my eyes to think a cross that speaks about the world that is wrong, a world that aches because of its sin, and the whole of creation groans. And there were people, because the cross speaks about death, doesn't it, that they put it there. But that man in the open air put that cross and said, yeah, it speaks about what is wrong. But he also says, it also speaks about love. And he used the illustration that, you know, you would meet your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and they'd gone away and they'd sent you a letter, and you'd read it, dear Les. And at the end, what did they put at the bottom? Love, Cassie, and a big cross. And here is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, which shows God's love. 1 John in chapter 4 and verse 10 says this. Here is love. It says, here is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And the book of Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8 says this. Speaking about love, it says this: God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here is the cross. It's a picture of something that's gone wrong, sin in our lives. But here is the cross. It's a picture of love, that God shows his love because Christ died for us. What happened when Christ dies upon the cross? Then the theologians would say this: it was penal substitutionary atonement. Three big words which probably don't mean very much when I first say them. But penal simply taking the word penalty. There was punishment, and Christ died to take the penalty for our sin. Substitutionary was the word substitute. Christ died in our place. He lived the life that we could never live, but he died the death that we deserve. And the cross pictures that. Substituted in our place. Penal substitutionary atonement. Christ died in our place for our salvation. He bore God's righteous wrath, which should have been for us. But it's atonement which makes us at one with God. And as we said before, when his righteousness is credited, imputed over to our account, so that men and women who put their trust in Christ no longer live in fear of their sin, because Christ had paid the penalty. And when God looks upon us now, he sees the righteousness of Christ given over to our account. There's a great verse in the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 21. It says this. Martin Luther called it the great exchange. It says this: for he made him who knew no sin, the sinless Christ, to be sin for us, taking our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's the great exchange. He knew no sin, but takes our sin and bears God's punishment, that we might become the righteousness, his righteousness given to us. It's the great exchange. And the cross, which is the message of the Bible to show that there is something wrong, the cross which shows that God loves us, shows us that it's the great exchange. But the cross is for all those who come to Christ and accept him as Saviour. The man in the open air had put in, and he put a third cross up, and he said, it's all about choosing. You know, it wasn't so long ago we were given our ballot papers and we had to choose, and you put your X against which candidate you wanted. And the man said, you know, it's a choice. The cross stands before you, and your choice is to follow him and accept him as a Saviour and take that great exchange. The word I said about the cross was it's the crux. It's crucial. You're at the crossroads. And that's how important the cross is. Because it's the crux in your life tonight. It's crucial that you consider the cross. It's at the crossroads which you can make a choice tonight to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Saviour. The Bible says that those who see Christ upon the cross and accept Him as Saviour must turn from their sin in repentance and sorrow and give their life to Him and trust in Him and His work. You know, the great thing about the cross is that it's an empty cross. He's no longer upon the cross. Although He died, was taken and buried, stay in the grave for 3 days, it's an empty tomb. And Christ rose again and appeared before many and showed that He had conquered sin and death in hell, and His sacrifice was accepted before the God of heaven. And now He lives. We used to sing the song, "Evermore to save." He's the certain hope of those who trust in Him. He's the certain hope for everyone here tonight. I put the symbol up before you. I often used to say to my children, "How much do you love me?" And it depends how much money I had in my pocket or what the present they were. It'd be that much, Dad. Then I'd say, "How much does God love you?" "That much." Because as the hymn writer said, "Stand beneath the cross of Jesus, and there are two arms stretched open wide, which reach out and save men and women and young people and boys and girls." And that is what the cross is about. In closing, I'll say this. I read this story. I didn't know this, but Charing Cross in London used to have a cross there. I think there's a statue there now. But it was the centre of London, or it's described as the centre of London. It's the place where they measure distances from across London or to other cities or towns, and it's taken from Charing Cross. And the story said there was a girl in the many decades ago in the fogs of London had become lost, and a policeman asked where she lived and she couldn't remember. And he said, "Is it there? Is it there? Is it there?" And then he said, "What about Charing Cross?" And she said, "Yes. Take me there, because when I get to the cross," she said, "I can then find my way home." Simple story which is told. The cross factor, it's for you tonight. And when you come to the cross, you can then find your way.